Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Welcome back. I'm Father Sam Sawyer, along with Father Matt Malone, and we're now switching gears to talk with Sean Salai. Sean Salai is a Jesuit and a contributing writer at America Magazine. He does a number of great interviews for us. And more recently, he's the author of What Would Pope Francis Do? Bringing the Good News to People in Need, published by Our Sunday Visitor this year. He holds a degree in philosophy from Loyola University Chicago during his Jesuit formation, and before that, a degree in history from Wabash College, which he attended on a scholarship from the Indianapolis Star. Before he entered the Jesuits, he was a Metro Desk reporter for the Washington Times and the Boca Raton News, and some of his articles were picked up by the Drudge Report and other national media outlets. So, Sean, welcome. It's good to have you.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Sam.
So, Sean, tell us a little bit about this, What Would Pope Francis Do? Obviously inspired by applying the What Would Jesus Do formulation to the more recent figure who everyone's paying attention to in the religious sphere.
Well, it's a question a lot of people have on their minds. And as Jesuits, you and Matt and I can speak a sort of shorthand, and we get Pope Francis, but a lot of people who haven't gone to Jesuit high schools, who haven't been part of the Ignatian Circle, don't really get Pope Francis. So Our Sunday Visitor, the publisher in Indiana, contacted me for two reasons. One, because I'm a Jesuit and I sort of speak the same language as Francis, and the other because of my work for America Magazine. And the question they had for me is, how can we as ordinary Christians answer the Pope's call to go out to the margins or the peripheries as a field hospital church? The book is a series of stories of ordinary people and saints who have tried to live out this call in their lives, but it's also a lot of sort of Ignatian immersion. It's a sort of introduction to Ignatian spirituality, an introduction to the language of discernment in a very non-technical way for people in the pews to follow. And the book follows Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel, the Pope's apostolic exhortation on evangelization. So basically going through six themes, longing, closeness, dignity, weariness, tenderness, and Mary, I sort of walk through basically what the Pope is asking us to do and praying and thinking about how is it that we draw close to people on the margins, how do we follow the example of Christ. And so the question of the book, What Would Pope Francis Do?, is really sort of an open question. The book isn't really about giving answers to that so much as sort of showing what he does and sort of suggesting some ways that we can think about doing that in our own lives.
What is the main way that he is misunderstood, do you think?
Well, you know, I was talking with someone for an America interview, the musician John Michael Talbot, a couple years ago, and John Michael Talbot said to me, Jesuits are smart with the heart. And a lot of people tend to rationalize the Catholic faith and try to put it into very rigid intellectual categories and sort of black and white. You know, here's the catechism, this is what the church is, it's a set of propositions. And really, Pope Francis is speaking a language of the heart. He's obviously a very intelligent person, but at the same time, he's led by his experience. He's led by his experience of people who are suffering, people in the third world. He's led by his experience of God in prayer. And he's more led by his sense of where Christ is leading the church than by what the secular media is interested in. And being from Argentina, he sort of thinks differently from people in the United States. He doesn't think in political categories of liberal and conservative as we do here. And he's willing to sort of be pastoral. And a lot of people don't fully understand what it means to be pastoral. It's not so much setting the church's teachings aside and saying they don't matter, as it is trying to meet people where they're hurting, meet people with Christ's love and mercy, especially in this year of mercy. And that's kind of something that's easy to misunderstand, that, you know, when we go out to people in need, we're not always going to be theologically precise. You know, we're speaking a language of comfort. We're speaking a language of care. And that's what Francis is trying to do.
The other thing that I think frequently gets misunderstood about Francis is he has this very deep-seated, deep-rooted belief in the capacity of people to change and the capacity of God, God's power to change people during that encounter when they actually experience God breaking into their lives. And I think that's one of the things that frequently gets missed, that, you know, Francis's hope is not that people are going to suddenly agree with him, but that people are going to encounter God and God's going to accomplish whatever he was trying to accomplish with those people. And I wonder if there's any parts of the book that you can point to that speak to that need for change, for interior conversion.
Yeah, a lot of the book is about relationship. You know, I tell stories of my own Jesuit formation, which is very similar to Francis's formation of obviously praying and studying, but also working in nursing homes. When I was working at America Magazine, our office in Manhattan a few summers ago, going out and working with the homeless there, I talk about that in the book. And right now, working in the chaplaincy at San Quentin Prison. And there's something about being in relationship with people that sort of brings us down to earth. You know, we have sort of an idea of what the faith is in our heads, and then really being in a loving relationship with someone and listening to them and walking with them. It's not enough to give the catechism to someone, although the catechism is very important because people can look up the catechism online. A lot of times what they want from the church is a sense of accompaniment, a sense of closeness, of someone walking with them on their journeys. And that's sort of the language of the book, you know, telling stories about Pope Francis, for example, going to Rabibia prison for Holy Thursday Mass. Pope Francis suddenly in the middle of a penance service at St. Peter's Basilica, going to confession to an ordinary priest before he heard confessions, stopping on the roadside to bless a disabled Italian woman as their family waved signs at him a couple years ago. These are the sort of stories that sort of move people and really bring Christ close to us. You know, I think it was St. Teresa of Avila who said, "Christ has no hands on earth but ours." And so we live as human beings a sort of mediated relationship with God. You know, it's not enough to just have a relationship with God in our heads or a conversation sort of with an abstraction, but to really meet Christ in the poor, as Jesus says in Matthew 28, you know, "I was hungry and you fed me, naked and you clothed me, in prison and ill and you visited me." So there's a lot of stories like that in the book.
I mean, one of the points that you make in the book is you say that we Christians as individuals and as an evangelizing community must get our own house in order before we can bring real healing to the world. And that seems to me to be a major theme of Pope Francis, so that, you know, the evangelizing is not a confrontation. It's an encounter where heart speaks to heart. And the first thing that Francis is asking us to do is look at our own hearts and allow our own hearts to be changed by the grace of God.
Absolutely, Matt. The starting point of a relationship with God from the Ignatian perspective is not my love for Christ, but Christ's love for me as a sinner.
Right.
And so to get our own house in order, it's really about letting Christ love us in our own brokenness and our own sinfulness, and then letting ourselves kind of look and pray about how that's moving us outward to love others in return. And it's not simply about, well, I know who God is, and I know in my head God loves me, and now I have a fearful obligation to go serve the poor. But it's that sense of being touched in our own hearts by Christ's love that transforms us and calls us outward in a sense of invitation. You know, it is a commandment to love God and love our neighbor, but at the same time, it's one we have to choose freely. And if we go out and try to help the poor without really wanting to do it, then really we're kind of nursing secret resentments and sort of other things that are under the surface there, because we don't have a sense of Christ's love if we're just doing it out of obligation. It's really sort of a sense of, oh, I better do this if I want to get to heaven, or, you know, I'll go to hell if I don't. And those are good starting points to the spiritual life, but Francis is really calling us to a sense of freedom, a sense of invitation to to grace, really, to being in relationship with God and others, but really starting with ourselves and realizing that even the three of us who are all Jesuits in active ministry, that we also need others to minister to us and we need God to minister to us.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we sometimes read or hear from people responding to Francis is a kind of frustration maybe or agitation that he doesn't seem to be as crystal clear as people hope or as people might have come to expect in sort of official universal pronouncements of the church. But it seems to me, particularly based on the way you've explained things in your book, that one of the reasons that's not true is because he's going for a different kind of simplicity. You know, the simplicity of encounter, but he can't add all that up and draw a line under it and come up with a conclusion from that, other than encounter's important, go do it.
Yeah, love is messy, and relationship is messy. And when you enter into a relationship with somebody, whether it's a family member or a loved one or with Christ in prayer, it's not something that you can sort of predetermine the outcome. It's really a trusting relationship where we're really called to trust that Christ is leading us somewhere when we're working with people in need. And when you start going into nursing homes and prisons and high schools, like when I taught high school in Tampa, Florida, I talk about that in the book, you know, you're interacting with people, and that's a very dynamic experience. It's not something that you can kind of reduce to propositions and say, well, you know, this is an equation that if I give this, I get that, and it equals this, because life surprises us, and sometimes God calls us to things that are greater than ourselves or greater than what we initially expected of ourselves.
And I think that that's crucially important, understanding the faith not as a set of propositions, but as a living faith. And Pope Francis is calling our attention to that by constantly reminding us to see the person, that the subject of all of our encounters and of every question, theological, philosophical, political, is a person created in the image and likeness of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that. And every person, regardless of their worldly accomplishments, is worthy of our giving. And it's something that sometimes in the church we tend to sort of want to box ourselves into either-or categories or put ourselves on one side and put people on the other side, whether it's Catholics and other Christians or Catholics and other religions, or whether it's I'm the right kind of Catholic and this other person is the wrong kind of Catholic. And really what breaks down those barriers is being able to see Christ in other people and that sort of relationship with a person. We can only express our faith in propositions. You know, we say, for example, God is love. That's a proposition. But at the same time, what does that mean? If we leave it at an intellectual level, it's a beautiful thought, but it doesn't really transform us the way that experiencing someone's love for us and recognizing Christ in that transforms us, or going out and showing our love for others in a way that helps them to see Christ. You know, working at the prison, I'm able to sort of comfort people who are locked up and can't go anywhere. And it's a very difficult and beautiful experience, but it's not something that, you know, you can just sort of walk in and have a Sunday school lesson with these guys. It's more of an experience of sort of listening to where they are in their lives and learning from that and being willing to go out of yourself to walk with them.
As Pope Francis himself is doing.
Absolutely. And one of the things that is very easy about writing this book, What Would Pope Francis Do?, is to just simply share stories that move me and have moved a lot of other people. For example, when he took Professor Gondreau's disabled son, this professor from Rhode Island, during an audience in St. Peter's Square and sort of embraced this man a few years ago, you know, people can read the catechism and be left feeling sort of unmoved or untouched by that. But when you see somebody, you know, who on the surface, like Francis, has all of this power and authority and who sort of comes down to be with people and to walk with them in a very humble way, just as Christ did when basically he took on a human form.
Exactly.
This is something that just, this is what faith is.
Meeting people where they are, right? The book is What Would Pope Francis Do? By Sean Salai, and it is available from Our Sunday Visitor Press. Sean, thanks so much for being with us and for your contributions to America. You can read Sean Salai and more about all the topics we discussed today at americamagazine.org. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. And to subscribe to America, call 800-627-9533. That's 800-627-9533 for a smart Catholic take on faith and culture. For Father Sam Sawyer, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you and good day.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.